For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. I am Aaron Broughton, your host for today, sitting in for Mr. John Lawrence. When we think about the modern country of Israel, our thoughts usually tend toward the news and the conflict with the Arabs and Palestinians. Unfortunately, there is also another problem that most of us in America may not be aware of in Israel. Today, I would like to discuss with you the growing drug problem in Israel. While abuse of drugs has grown worldwide, especially here in America, Israel has also seen a rise in drug abuse since the 1980s. Many people struggle with addiction, and usually the Israeli public turns a blind eye toward this problem. The police do little to thwart this epidemic, with the thought that drug addicts they arrest today will be back on the streets tomorrow. In effect, they are killing themselves and they kind of let them do it. There are approximately 300,000 drug users in the country, with 11% of these being teenagers. Out of this number, 25,000 are dependent drug users, most of them addicted to heroin. As their lives are dependent on their next daily fix, they cannot work or live normative lives. And in this, they have posed a burden on the Israeli society. Illegal drugs are rather easy to obtain in Israel. The drug supply comes over the Egyptian, Jordanian, and Lebanese borders and then sold on the streets. Where once adults were using these drugs, a growing trend is that younger users, including some elementary-age children, are becoming exposed to this dangerous trend. In fact, drug sales have actually increased around schools and in nearby neighborhoods. Drugs are usually offered for free at first, and then prices are raised, which has caused the young people to steal from their families to get their next dose. In light of this, synthetic drug use is also on the rise. This is creating a very unstable society and doing much to harm the socioeconomic and cultural stability of the country. Now you may be asking, what is being done about this problem? While there are several drug rehabilitation centers around the country, there has been limited success rates from these programs. Fortunately, there are believers in Israel who are providing assistance to addicts, both Jews and Arabs. I've had the privilege of meeting men who have gone through these programs and came out changed, not just physically, but spiritually as well. They, in turn, have developed a heart for those who are going through the same struggles with addiction just as they did. Some years ago, I remember an American that I met who came on a visit to Israel to see friends there, and a group of us were walking down the street in Tel Aviv, and we came across a man that was passed out, clearly who had overdosed on drugs. This man was actually in our way where we could not go around him. We tried to wake him up, but he did not respond. Here was a man lying in his own bodily fluids, miserable and wretched. Our friend from America did something that was amazing to me that I shall never forget. Now, keep in mind that this man from America was built like a linebacker. He stooped down and picked up this man who had overdosed and laid him on a long cardboard box out of the way and off the ground. Finally, an ambulance came shortly after that to take the man away. And after they loaded the man into the ambulance, the EMT asked our American friend why he would even want to help this drug addict. His response was one I'll never forget. He said, "Because I was once just like this man." Those are sobering words. Indeed, it takes specially prepared people with a heart to minister to those dealing with addictions. But praise the Lord, He has prepared several in Israel who are helping men like this. They are being fed, clothed, treated, counseled, and are involved in Bible studies. Even though it appears that the drug problems in Israel as well as in America are insurmountable, lives are being changed for the glory of God. What are you doing today, my friend, to be the one that will help point others struggling in sin to the Savior? It takes a special love and commitment to do this work. But I can tell you from experience, it's a work that is worth every effort for the sake of the Messiah. I invite you to pray for these people as they minister there in Israel to this growing need and growing threat to the society there in Israel. Well, with this in mind, my friend, let's now open our Bibles and our hearts as we study together with our teacher and Jewish believer, Brother Mark Oshman.
Welcome back to another session of our radio broadcast. This brief survey of the book of Proverbs will provide examples of how biblical authors conveyed the wisdom of God to their readers. The advice given in these chapters can help anyone live a godly life. In the opening verses of the book, Solomon outlined its purpose, quote, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity," close quote. He intended for his pithy sayings to give subtlety to the simple, and to give knowledge and discretion to the youth. Solomon repeatedly addressed his admonitions to, quote, "my son," unquote. The circumstance might have suggested that he wanted Rehoboam, his son and successor on the throne of Israel. He wanted Rehoboam to use these precepts in guiding him to govern wisely. If that were the case, Solomon's objective failed. Rehoboam's political insensitivity resulted in the division of his kingdom. The book of Proverbs contains several subdivisions. Solomon himself authored the first 24 chapters. The next five chapters consisted of maxims copied by the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Discourses by Agur, the son of Jacob, and the words of King Lemuel comprise the final portion of Proverbs. A number of themes recur throughout this book. Three of the main ones are understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. All three terms appeared in the second chapter of Proverbs. Quote, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding," close quote. The Hebrew word translated as understanding derived from a verb that meant to discern. Thus, the concept of understanding could have served as a synonym for discernment or prudence. In Proverbs 14, Solomon noted that anyone who was slow to wrath had great understanding. In Proverbs 16, he added that, quote, "Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it," close quote. Knowledge involved the possession of divine guidelines, whether through personal experiences or the experiences of others. Wise individuals lay up knowledge. Every prudent individual deals with knowledge. Moreover, according to Proverbs 15, quote, "The lips of the wise dispense knowledge," unquote. Solomon linked knowledge and instruction together. Quote, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge," unquote. He also remarked that, quote, "When a wise person submits to instruction, he receiveth knowledge." Wisdom defined the process whereby people applied godly principles to direct their lives. Wisdom has its sources with God. Solomon observed that the Lord gave wisdom. He reminded his pupil that, quote, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom," and that, quote, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom." In the 8th chapter of Proverbs, Solomon personified wisdom. Wisdom, as a figure, cried out, quote, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord," unquote. On the other hand, wisdom warned that, quote, "He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death," unquote. The book of Proverbs frequently alluded to several categories of individuals. These would be the simple, the fool, the scorner, and the wise. Those people who fell into the first three categories lacked understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. What differentiated them from one another was their attitude toward these traits. A simple person could acquire those characteristics. A fool rejected them, and a scorner degraded them. The term simple applied to those who fell headlong into trouble due to their ignorance. Solomon devoted much of the 7th chapter of Proverbs to an account of a simple man who was ensnared by, quote, "a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart," unquote. When a scorner gets punished, the simple will beware. Unless the simple person acquired wisdom, Solomon warned, he or she will inherit folly. Fools actually hated wisdom and instruction. In the 18th chapter of Proverbs, Solomon remarked that, quote, "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul," unquote. Fools return to their folly, in the same way that a dog returned to its vomit. The term scorner described the fool who had sunk to the depths of folly. Rebuking a scorner would be a fruitless task, as Solomon pointed out in Proverbs 9. Quote, "He that reproveth the scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot." Unquote. Once a fool transformed into a scorner, he became fit only for punishment. The wise person, on the other hand, both received and embraced instruction. He listened to good advice and associated with other wise people. In Proverbs 11, Solomon observed that, quote, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." The contributors to the book of Proverbs utilized different literary techniques. This practice characterized that corpus of knowledge known as wisdom literature. This appeared frequently in writings derived from the Middle Eastern countries. Here are a few examples. Some maxims and proverbs contain phrases that complemented each other. For example, quote, "The heart knoweth its own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy." Unquote. Quote, "Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right." Unquote. Other verses presented contrasts. Quote, "The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead." Unquote. Quote, "Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight." Close quote. The cause and effect proverb depicted consequences that came from certain behaviors. For example, we read, quote, "Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house." Unquote. Quote, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." Unquote. Some verses might combine contrasting statements with cause and effect statements. For example, quote, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that which holdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty." Close quote. A unique form of instruction that Solomon adopted involved comparing different conditions as though weighing it on a scale. These proverbs use the word better to indicate the relationship between two conditions. Here's another example. Quote, "Better is little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith." Unquote. We also have this example. Quote, "Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool." Unquote. In Proverbs chapter 30, a man named Agur employed a unique format. He often listed four phenomena connected by a single characteristic. Here is a sample of Agur's writing. Quote, "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The Connies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in king's palaces." Unquote. According to the fourth chapter of 1 Kings, Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs. The book of Proverbs contained a number of these sayings. How can the book of Proverbs help Christian believers today? Christians possess wisdom, the wisdom from heaven, in Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul wrote that in Jesus Christ, quote, "are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Unquote. James in his epistle noted that if believers lacked wisdom, they can ask God to grant it to them, and he will do so. The book of Proverbs is thus important for Christians today who want to know the mind of God and are willing to set themselves to follow it. Thank you for listening to this radio broadcast. We invite you to return for future Bible studies.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.